12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Brave the dark woods of folk horror with us in this Vasen actual play, The Hidden North. Remember, 12-sided stories are always story heavy, rules light, and full of fright.
Hello, and welcome to The Hidden North, episode number 15. My name is Wes Otis. We have a wonderful cast with us. Let's start with Piper.
Hello, everyone. I am Piper. I use they, them pronouns. And today I'm playing Elizabeth Purse, who uses she, they pronouns. She is a writer and currently trying some shenanigans.
Hello, everyone. I am trying shenanigans. My name is Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing Hildegard Brunson, the doctor, also they, she.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Greta, your local academic, who is also battered, bruised, but not broken, but slowly limping away. And her pronouns are she, her.
Hello, I'm Saint. I'm playing Steve, our occultist. And both of our pronouns are she, her. And we're just gonna get groovy with it, actually.
This is a great place for a recap. Last week, while doing an autopsy at the police station, both Steve and Hildegard heard this big commotion, and everybody was running out towards the asylum to see what happened there. They followed and found out that several people had been murdered. There were tracks being led into the forest. There was also a mob of people upset with the residents of Gillenkreutz. And to avoid the mob, they decided to sneak into the forest and see what they could find, hoping that their friends were in the forest, possibly, and not inside the asylum at that moment. Unfortunately, Hildegard did not make their roll, and the mob saw them and chased after them into the woods. Steve and Hildegard were running through the woods. They came out from the brush and were right smack in front of a troll, which we named Grog. Grog was very, very upset and tried to swing at Steve, who ran away. And Grog's partner, Gork, came out. During this whole time, Elizabeth snuck over, woke up Greta, who had been hit the previous game and had been hit in the head at the beginning of the game and was knocked out. Greta woke up and started making her way towards Uppsala as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, Elizabeth decided to try to basically get Gork to not attack them. They took a compact out and was like, look, shiny. That's when Hildegard remembered that she had a sunstone from a very old friend that gave them this thing. Now, it still has a rosary bead in it, if I remember correctly, because it is a necklace. The idea was using the sunstone and the compact to try to find a ray of light in this very dark forest, because it is the day still, and slow them down or stop them from moving by turning them into stone. Okay. That is the super quick version. I don't think I forgot anything of great import. Oh, and Elizabeth and Greta believe that Linnea is in the cave, but they haven't been able to get into the cave. Okay, so Steve and Greta have been sneaking away from the area and are heading towards the town. And I'm going to say that they link up, okay? So the two of you see each other and you kind of make your way over to each other. Before I get to Elizabeth and Hildegard, do you guys want to say anything to each other?
Well, in the last ep, I was going to do like a singing thing or a humming thing.
Oh, you were going to sing. Yeah.
Yeah. But if that's really not necessary, because Steve doesn't know that they're about to do sunlight stuff.
We don't know what's necessary or what's not. You might save Hildegard or Elizabeth if their thing doesn't work. So It's worth a shot.
If I catch up with Greta, or when I catch up with Greta, I will mention that I had this. When I see you disoriented, I am just like, okay, are you okay? You're bleeding. Can you keep walking? Are you okay?
I'm battered, but I'm okay. I don't know how much I can do. I'm lucky. All I lost was a tooth.
Ah.
And I show her the tooth.
I was like, oh. And Steve realizes that that's similar. That's a familiar sight. Okay. I believe a way we can help our friends get out is using a little bit of a tune or music. Are you okay to stay hidden over here?
I mean, I'm okay, but they can smell me. I was baptized.
Ah, okay. Well, in that case, then I'll help her up. I think it makes more sense for us to get out of this border of darkness.
Well, if your humming is gonna work, I can keep going. I'll make my way, or I can sit here and hum with you if I know the tune.
Actually, I was thinking of one that's a bit familiar. If you remember the cabin at the beginning of our journey.
Oh yeah,
and. Another little shaky little courage shake. Not quite like a dog, not quite like a human. I just gesture a little wildly and go, okay, on my count of three, I'll start and you just follow my lead.
Okay, cool. So you start singing, humming. Obviously, you're going to have to be loud enough, so you're probably going to be singing so that they actually can hear you. But you're basically singing the melody. Let's start with Elizabeth. So you're trying to find light. You're backing up slowly, if I remember correctly. Give me an observation roll.
Okay, that is 1-6.
All right. You turn, and this small ray of light comes from the compact. Gork puts up his hands really quickly, and you notice that part of his hand starts to turn into stone. And he kind of reels back really quickly and is trying to get away from you at that point. Let's jump over to Hildegard real quick. Grog hears Gork yelling as this beam hits him. His attention is turned away for just a moment. You've got your sunstone. Do you want to tell it what you need? Speak a word, or what do you want to do?
I look at... This is Gork in front of me?
Grog is in front of you.
Okay. I look at him and I say, Herr Troll, I recognize that you feel as though you're under attack. You're trying to enjoy time with your partner. However, I must say, you must let my friends go. We don't mean you any harm. We were chased in here by a mob. And I don't want you to turn to stone without being close to your man. But at the same time, I fear for my friends and I's safety. Can you take him away into the forest and we don't have to do this? You can have a lovely time. We leave, or I can move this a little bit to the left, and you just, you turn back into stone promptly.
Okay, give me a manipulation roll.
Different stats into different things.
Ha! 2 6s!
All right,
hey,
well, with
hot
that...
dog!
Hot diggity dog. All right, so with that extra success, he says in broken Norwegian, he says, stop hurting Gork, and I'll let you go.
Understood. Danke. And I think Hildegard looks at the others. Hey, wait a minute. I have brokered a deal with this one. He would like us to stop hurting his partner. Put that down. We are going to leave peacefully.
I understand, but I think Linnea's inside the cave.
Would you allow us to get the human?
He thinks for a second, and you did get 2 successes. And so he goes, fine, quickly.
Danke schön, Herr Troll. We will be out of your moss in a moment.
Elizabeth, you're closest to the cave. I'm going to assume you probably run in first.
Yeah. Elizabeth shuts the compact and immediately just runs quickly as she can into the cave.
And Grog goes over to Gork to console him as his hand is still changing back. If they change completely, they die. But if they're only partially changed, they just have to wait for night to heal it in the moonlight. So you run in, and it smells really, really bad. There's human debris all over the place and just grossness. And you see Linnea tied to this pole next to the wall. there's a large pot, and it does look like they were getting ready to cook her. You notice the large eyes and long face of Mother Superior standing next to Linnea. It's right behind her, right up against the wall almost, and it's looking over her shoulder at you, making this clicking sound as it takes one of its fingers with a long claw on the end of it and just gently goes down the side of Linnea's face as it's looking at you, and it's just staring back at you. Can I get a fear check, please?
Okay.
And no one's there with you, so you don't get any bonus.
It's just me. I'm alone. All right.
So empathy or logic, I believe.
That's a lot of fours, but no sixes.
Okay, so you are terrified. Roll 1d6 to see how many rounds it takes to regain control. Whether you flee, freeze, faint, or attack is up to you. So go ahead and roll a 1d6.
So I rolled a 2.
Okay, so 2 rounds. What do you want to do? Freeze, run, attack, or faint. What do you want to do? Freeze, run, attack, or faint.
I think Elizabeth, seeing that it's Mother Superior that's here, there's fear that starts to run and course through her. It's kind of like ice picks inside her. They take out, as they were going to kind of cut Linnea free, one of the daggers that they have strapped to their leg under their dress. And she sees Mother Superior, and just heat is now flushing up her neck through her cheeks, and she's going to fight. She's like, oh no, you bloody don't. And immediately takes this out and launches herself at Mother Superior.
It's very Irish of you. All right, so you launch yourself. Just so I know where everybody is, I'm sure that once you see that the trolls have kind of been neutralized, Greta and Steve, I would imagine you're not singing at that point. What did the two of you do?
Do we hear Elizabeth? Like, is she within earshot? Because if she yelled at a creature, at anything, would we have heard it echo through the cave?
You do hear an echo of just Gaelic insults. You're not sure what's going on.
Like, that sounds really bad. We gotta go see her.
Okay. I start limping back.
I'm supporting you as I'm trying to not be completely abandoning you and your
and
safety.
To be clear, Michelle, you only have a condition. When you get 3 conditions, you become broken, and then something like a limp would happen. Right now, you're completely fine. You just have a big bump on your head, so you're okay now.
Okay.
What about you, Hildegard?
I think I take off running into that direction to see if they need help.
Okay, cool. Greta, you are the closest. You get to the edge. Let's go to Elizabeth real quick. Elizabeth, you can use force or you can use close combat.
I'm bad at both.
Okay.
So
Mother Superior is behind Linnea, just so you know. So Linnea's kind of a meat shield at this point, unless you go around the side and try to grab.
I think if possible, as Elizabeth is stepping forward, I think very much like they are prone to do, it seems currently. They like to throw things. They're going to try and throw the dagger instead, just towards Mother Superior's face.
So I'm going to tell you, just in case, that's perfectly fine. If you roll more than 1-1, okay?
Oh.
You're going to hit Linnea.
Yeah.
If you roll more than 1-1, you're going to hit Linnea.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound fair? Because they're right next to each other.
Very fair.
It would be ranged combat now with precision.
Yeah.
Now, if you succeed and still get the ones, you still succeed, right?
Okay.
It's only if you don't hit and you roll a bunch of ones that it's an issue.
All right, let's see.
No pressure.
Okay, well, good news, I don't roll any ones. Bad news, I don't roll any sixes.
Okay, let's jump to Hildegard. Hildegard, you hit the entrance. You see Mother Superior as you run in. You see Elizabeth and Linnea's right in front of Mother Superior. And all of a sudden, Mother Superior gives this really wide grin, and you see all of her sharp teeth as you enter. and she starts just cackling a little bit. Can you give me a fear check real quick? Because even with everything going on, it's disturbing.
1-6. Wait, do I get pluses because there's other people here?
You do, but you only need 1-6
anyway.
Doesn't
matter, right? Okay.
Right, you're good. So you are okay. What do you want to do?
Hildegard wants to act as a gigantic tank and shoulder check the fuck out of this lady into the wall.
Okay, so you're running up towards her.
I'd like to use force if possible.
Okay, make your force roll and let me know what you get. Yeah, that would absolutely be force.
I got a 6.
1-6. Okay, yeah. Cool. Ooh. Now, you're running really fast towards her. She gets to make a roll to see if she can dodge. Okay. So you run full on into her and you guys hit up against the wall. Her face is right next to your neck and she says something in Latin and you suddenly feel a weird heat come off of the rosary bead. The necklace starts to wrap around your throat and choke you, and you can't get any air in. Steve and Greta, you both reach the door at the same time. You see that Linnea is still connected to this pole in the ground. You see Mother Superior standing over Greta, who is oddly a little shorter than Mother Superior, with these big wings. Mother Superior is looking down at Hildegard, trying to grab for this necklace that is wrapped around their throat and is squeezing the breath out of them. And Mother Superior is cackling as this is happening. She's starting to bend down and pick up the knife that was just thrown at her. Greta and Steve, what do you want to do?
No fear check?
Yes, fear check, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow, you reminded me. You could have gotten away with it, too,
yeah,
if it wasn't for
like,
those kids.
I forgot the homework. You forgot the homework. What's our homework?
I'm going to turn in my homework. Can I please? And then,
God. Okay. Actually forgot how many. I know it's plus one. Is it?
It's plus 3 right now.
Is it? Okay.
For each person there.
It was our logic or empathy, right? Okay.
Right. Michelle, what did you get?
I got a success.
Excellent.
I did not.
All right, so roll a 1d6.
2.
Okay, so 2 rounds. And then do you want to fight, flee, fawn, or faint? Wait, they don't have fawn in here.
Fight. I think let's try fawn.
Okay.
I know that sounds weird, but Steve, in this face of such powerful horror, loses any sort of decorum and understanding of when to
run.
Yeah, when to run and when to like not say her thoughts out loud. Just kind of, we're friends of one of your children. We're not evil. And I point to Greta because she told me she was baptized. She just goes, we're not enemies. We're not enemies. Please, please don't kill us. We're not enemies. We're here. We're connected to you in some way.
Can you give me a manipulation roll?
Hilariously, I put no manipulation points in, but I do have some empathy. So here we go. Seems kind of opposite of empathetic. Sorry about that, Greta.
Did you get one?
Yes, I got a 6. 1-6.
Okay. Though cackling, Mother Superior looks down at you after you say that and says something in Latin, and I don't think any of you know Latin.
I might.
You might.
I might also know it because of medical stuff. A lot of that is in Latin.
True. Okay, you know what? I will say that you know it then, because that makes sense. And she says, they stole my children, and you're helping them, and you deserve what you get. But I need you alive. And she takes the dagger and she plunges it into Linnea's chest.
Gosh, it.
And then she disappears into the blackness. Meanwhile, Hildegard is still choking from this necklace wrapped around their throat.
Is my strength enough to tear at the necklace?
Yeah.
I think that's what Hildegard does. All of you probably see like a moment of like hesitation. she like really doesn't want to break it. They kind of clutch the pendant tightly and kind of close their eyes and then just yank with all of their might to open it, to snatch it off the second that they see Linnea is in medical danger.
Okay. I'm going to say you're able to do that. Nothing adverse happens. You rip the chain off and you have the sunstone in your hand. Linnea is not moving. She's been badly damaged. You don't know whether or not the heart has been hit, but blood is streaming down. I need a medical roll. This have been very intense games.
Very. I got a 6.
Yay.
Hey, that's all you need.
Okay. So you quickly take Linnea down from the post and you start to administer help. Grog comes in behind all of you and hands you some relatively clean bandages, even though you have your own, trying to help. You are able to stabilize Linnea, but you're not going to be able to move her. She's going to be stuck here until she can heal.
I look over my shoulder at the troll. Dankeschön. Thank you so much for showing such compassion. It means quite a lot to us. We apologize for bringing this terror to your home. Do you work with the mother?
She threatened us, so we had to do as she wanted. She wanted Linnea, and she wanted... And this is all in very broken Norwegian. I can't do that accent, so that's what we're going for. All I think of is Gold Member from Austin Powers. Gold! I could do the Swedish Chef. You know, but anyway. He says, no, we don't work for her, but she is very powerful and is also, she can harm us if we don't do what she says.
I know we are told to people as hunters of Vesen. That is not how I see it. I see it as we are the people who can keep the balance between you and us, between our world and your world. And this is what we are here to do. We are not here to harm you, engage in any kind of violence with you, but we do need to protect our own. And in this case, I am sorry for Cotton, the crossfire. Can we keep her here? Will she be safe with you?
We'll look after her. We tend to try to not eat humans, but lately it's been difficult. We haven't been able to find as much of our food around as we were. We're sorry for killing your sick. We shouldn't have done that. We were told to make a mess, and we did.
Yes, it works in her power for you to look as bad as possible.
What kind of food do you normally eat?
We hunt for rabbit and elk and anything else the forest provides usually. We only eat human when the human's trying to harm us.
That's understandable.
I am sorry about your hand.
Oh, and Gort comes in and says, it'll be okay. We are sorry that this has ended this way. We will take care of your friend. You can come back in a few days and retrieve her.
Thank you.
Will the mother come back to you too at some point?
Possibly. We can't control what the mother does. I don't think you all can either.
Then can you keep Linnea safe, truly?
As safe as two trolls can. That's safer than most. We will do our best. That's the only guarantee we can give. They're pragmatic trolls. They're not going to promise something they can't promise.
Right.
So, what do you all want to do?
I don't mean to be a downer, so to speak. However, if we do return home, I think it's important to remember Sister Lucy, and she is an agent of the Mother.
She's the agent that you believe of living Mother Superior of Uppsala, to be clear. So, of the church.
Still bad.
Yeah, you haven't talked with Mother Superior of the church in Uppsala yet. That is an option. But yeah, Lucy is definitely, I haven't mentioned that in the recaps, but Lucy has been making maps and things have been gone missing. You also have the four other people who showed up. The old man with the raven showed up and the really good-looking young 18-year-old handsome boy with the red hair. The American...
And the not Hildegard.
Right, yeah.
Amy.
The, Russian Hildegard showed up and American Elizabeth showed up. So I'll let Steve and Greta fight over who the old man represents. Anyway, what do the two of you want to do?
What about the beautiful one?
So, like I said, fight. All right. Where do you want to go? Castle Gyllenkreutz to talk with Mother Superior? Do you want to go to the asylum? Though you pretty much know what happened there. What's your pick?
I say we go see Mother Superior. Either she's working for Mother Superior, Mother Superior sent her, or she's trying to follow the teachings of Sister Ifka in some way. I don't know. That's my feeling.
Elizabeth is going to pick up the dagger again, gently wipe it off on the underside of her dress. Agreed. Go see the mother. Maybe try to clear some of this up and maybe come to some sort of agreement. I don't think the church will be able to help us at all, but maybe if we can calm things down, let her know what's happening somewhat.
That sounds like our best option. Before we go, what did that demon say to you guys? Was that Latin?
Yeah. She said that we're working with those who are killing her children. I'm wondering who is killing her children. And she thinks we're working with them.
She also said the Latin word for jukebox, but you didn't recognize it because it's a long time ago. Sorry, I had to. Go ahead.
Ukbox J?
Ukbox J? It's not pig Latin. It's regular Latin.
Wait, that's the wrong...
It's the wrong Latin.
I know that Latin. Yeah.
I think that what she might mean, considering that Steve and I, we went to go look at the man who met such a grisly end with the spike through the throat and neck. He was a changeling. Do you all have experience with changelings at all?
Steve kind of sighs and looks off to the distance. Yes, some. I don't know if it'll be helpful, though.
I have a lot of personal experience with it. I just wanted to make sure, before I continue to give you my theory, that you understand they are and what they mean.
Absolutely.
I think that what the mother is talking about, if it is part of what we had seen in that before place, the middle had to go up against the monsters. Perhaps her children, the changelings, and she feels as members of this society that we are against her Vazen being her children. I mean, that is what this society is for, right? It's for, on the surface, it is for managing and killing Vazen, but obviously that has not always been the way. And isn't the way now. I would much rather speak to them and try to find a way to coexist than to just blindly kill, personally.
I just wonder why she's thinking that.
What if maybe this whole ritual, this whole thing with clocks and everything, and this kind of repeating, this third time, once the spell's complete, maybe we're just kind of components, right? In order for her to go back in time to rescue her children, for them to not be taken.
Grog speaks up really quick and goes, spells? What are you talking about?
We theorize some sort of troll magic or something about time. This isn't the first time that we've experienced this point in time. Greta, you lost a molar, correct?
Greta?
Yes, correct.
Maybe this happened before, something exactly like this, and I was the one who got bonked.
That's what I'm wondering. You see, we're caught in a time loop. She keeps trying to kill us every time. She's trying to complete a clock with our bodies.
And using troll magic to do it?
Yeah.
It might not be her using the magic then. It might be the fairies. Trolls and fairies both use it. She might be a pawn. I don't know. It's possible.
They mentioned a fairy king a few times, especially Linnea. He was dancing on her window. What does that mean?
Oh, that's not good. The fairy king doesn't come out of his realm often and is very dangerous. He usually stays away from humans unless he's enraged. He might be playing games with you all, very dangerous games. I can help you a little bit. And he goes through and moves around a bunch of stuff. and comes out with this strange looking box of like different animal parts in it. And he says a few words over four small bones. And he says, if you each take these, they will at least give you a warning that time magic is being used on you so that you can see clearer, if that helps.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
My apology for everything that's happened.
It's not yours to apologize for. You were forced. I want to ask you, and I tell him all about the cabin with the fairy stew, and you know, I tell him all of it. And I say, do you know what the meaning of that could be?
Stories that I have heard say that there was a culling a while back. A lot of them died, and it was the human's fault. That is probably why, if it has a connection, that the Fairy King is upset. They change their children out with human children because the birth rate is very low among us. Our people, and I speak of all people, not just trolls, that are from the fairy realm, have been struggling a lot. And as humans have expanded into our territories more, and less of you are actually pagan and you follow the Christian God or some, the Jewish God, it has made it very difficult for us to live in this realm. Our magic is starting to fade. It could be the king trying to right the balance in a way, or he could just be really angry. Fairy kings can get extremely angry, and they are very deadly when they do. If he's taunting humans that openly, he wants a confrontation, probably.
Kind of small ball of just white hot heat and like electricity kind of starts in Steve's chest. She just tries to mask by breathing very measured and meditatively. If the king is coming after us, would he be the one who would send the mother? Or is she?
I don't know. She might be his puppet. She might be fighting him. And the two of them are not good forces for humanity or Vason at that point. If there's so much emotion and anger going on, then neither are thinking, and they're just damaging everyone to damage everyone. Unfortunately, I don't know enough about it to tell you any more than that. But with those bones I've given you, you'll be able to tell which things are from a different loop and which things are now. So hopefully that will help.
Steve nods a little despondently and walks back, just kind of towards the entrance.
Any other questions for Gork and Grog, or do you guys want to head out to Mother Superior, the living Mother Superior?
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I felt that was, you guys got some good information there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. You head back, and as you're leaving the forest, you notice something strange. It is dark outside. It's nighttime, and there's about a foot of snow on the ground.
I reach for the bone. Is it tingling?
Is your bone tingling?
Phrasing.
Bone, it's a tingle.
I got a tingly bone right here.
Oh. Thank you, Saint. All right.
I made no jokes this podcast. I had to.
I don't know. It's a valid question at my age. No, the bone does not give off any strangeness, but you do know that if you enter into the fairy realm, and with trolls in particular, time is a little, what is it, wibbly-wobbly? And it looks like a great deal of time, at least a couple of months, has passed by while you were inside the forest and inside that cave. So now it is winter.
Well, that's bad.
Oh,
what the fuck? Yeah,
that's some.
We're that much closer to our end date.
Yep.
Still got a year, maybe. I don't know.
Depends on how many times Piper brings up plot armor. All right, so.
Our plot armor is made of aluminum or aluminum.
aluminum.
Yes.
As soon as we exit the forest, the first male child I see, I'm going to say, boy, what day is it, boy?
It's winter time, my lord.
Hello, Piper's.
Is Michelle going to go Old Testament here? No. What are you doing? Yes. The first male child I see.
Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Boy. I know.
Boy, it's Mr. Scrooge. Hey. He wants to know the day.
All right. So you make your way through the snow. It is cold. You're not dressed for this. And you make it to the church. You pass by the asylum, which has been boarded up. You notice that Castle Gillenkreutz looks like it's taken some damage as well. Some of the windows have been boarded up. It looks worse for wear than when you went in. The vibe of the entire town is just this feeling of depression. The nights are so long that it can be isolating and hard to deal with. You have no idea what time it is until you finally get close to the church and you hear three bells ring, and there are still people moving in the city, so you figure it must be 3 in the afternoon. Why is there no sun? I mean, you've heard of really long nights before, but you know, usually there's at least a few hours of light. You enter the church, and one of the sisters comes up and goes, oh, you're freezing. Let's get you clothes. Why are you walking with no jackets? And she runs over to a closet and pulls out blankets and coats. And she goes, I'll go and get some tea right away. I'm sorry. Who are you and why? What can I help you with?
We're friends of Sister Lucy's.
Who?
And we... Sister Lucy?
She's from a different church. We don't have a Sister Lucy here.
She must be.
Aye, she told us to come here then.
What about the mother? Does the mother have some people who represent her out in the field that you might not be aware of?
Mother Superior? I mean, I can get her for you and maybe we can clear it up. I've been here for 5 years. I've never met Sister Lucy before, but Mother Superior might be able to help. Give me a second. Let me get you tea and come in and sit down, and I'll go get Mother Superior real quick.
Thank you so much.
So a few moments later, Mother Superior appears. She is probably about 5'3". She has on her habit. She's older. She looks like she may be well into her 70s. She is incredibly alive, I'll say. Not, you know, slow moving or stiff or anything like that. And she walks in and looks at the four of you sitting on the bench. And she goes, let's go into my office and talk. I have a fireplace in there. Sister, bring the tea in with you and we'll find out what's going on. And you all file into her office and chairs are provided. And she sits down and goes, now, Sister Amy said that you were looking for a Sister Lucy here, correct?
Aye.
We don't have a Sister Lucy here. Where did you meet her?
She was in Castle Gillenkreutz. She invited other nuns over, saying that she was doing so behind the Mother Superior's back.
Interesting.
Do you know of any cults of nuns? Perhaps nuns that have declined the service of your god? Or perhaps defected? We know of a sister that was interested in Vesen many, many years ago, wrote those books. Perhaps there is a sect of nuns that believe as she believed.
I believe her name was Sister Efka.
Yes, I was going to say, I am well aware of Sister Efka. She lets out that long sigh, and then she goes, if a nun has stopped believing in quote-unquote our god, then they're no longer nuns. And as for Sister Efka, she brought a lot of shame onto our church in general. And But she's been dead for at least 100 years now.
Even in death, at least the lingering anger of Sister Efka still survives, unfortunately.
That's strange. As for a cult, there are always schisms within churches at some point where people feel that they know better than the church itself. So could there be a group of people who have taken up Ifka's beliefs? I would hope not, but it's very possible. Let me check the registry for this Sister Lucy of yours. And she pulls down this huge tome and puts it on the table. And it's got yellowed paper in it. It's pretty old. And she starts looking through. And after about 5 minutes goes by, she goes, "Well, I found your Sister Lucy." She turns the book around towards you and points to it. When you look, it says, "Sister Lucy died 1787. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
Ooh. Shake the bone at her.
She's a ghost.
I got a tingly chicken bone here.
My bones are rumbling.
You got to do the little hex fingers, like the two clawed fingers, and shake the bone.
I've seen it. That's what you do.
All right. Well, obviously, this opens up a lot of questions that we are going to leave for next time. Thank you all so much for playing. This was a lot of fun. These last two episodes were definitely hair-raising. Let's find out where all our wonderful people are. This time, let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace. I have been Hildegard Brunson. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at the Candace Marie and everywhere else at Candace Magnificent. You can hear more of me on Bloom and Blight, which is a Girl by Moonlight podcast, as well as Partial Veil, which is a cosmic horror meets Fargo podcast. And if you're looking for me in other places, check me out on Chaotic Wholesome Presents, as well as Three Black Halflings.
Hi, everyone. I have been and will always be Piper. I've been playing Elizabeth Purse. You can find me over on Twitter at Maddie Matihi. That's MattyMatteehee, or on my Twitch channel at Matihi, where myself and Candace and others play a game called What We Do in the Shallows, which is a queer pirate romantic adventure. Very scary, very smoochy. And you can also find me over on Chaotic Wholesome playing Unlikely Heroes and where I play a rat. It's a good time.
Hello, I'm Saint or Saint Spider, and I have been playing Sieve, and primarily, truly, you can find me on some previous 12-Sided Stories campaigns. They were fantastic and lovely. I've been a vampire. I've been a normal, cool 90s kid and everything outside in between that. So please go enjoy that catalog.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you go to DriveThruRPG and look for Plate Mail Games.
And my name is Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the socials. You can find the show at 12-Sided Stories, the number 12 and then Sided Stories at all the socials as well. That is it. Thank you all so much for joining us. We cannot wait until we get back to this and have more The Hidden North. Bye, everybody.
Bye.